black against a setting sky. A stream of silver stars flies towards the word Paramount above the peak and encircles it. A series of sketches of a woman doing housework.
It was always sit down, Shirley Valentine. Go away, Shirley Valentine. And one day, Shirley Valentine just wasn't there anymore. A bird is born to fly, born for the moment it takes to the sky and all its dreams are riding on its wings. But if it falls, the dreams aren't broken as long as the wind is fair. The sky is always there.
Shirley Valentine, starring Pauline Collins and Tom Conti.
Oh, the girl who used to be me, she could fly, she was free, and she rode all the world to her song.
Julia McKenzie, Alison Steadman, Joanna Lumley, Sylvia Sims, and Bernard Hill.
Used to go dancing, and I feel she's been gone too.
Shirley Valentine, who has longish, curly dark brown hair, returns home to a modest semi with shopping. She enters the kitchen.
Oh.
She pauses for a rest, then dumps her bags.
Hiya, Wall.
Looking at us.
Well, what's wrong with that? There's a woman three doors down, talks to a microwave.
Talking to a microwave? Wall, what's the world coming to?
She gets wine from the fridge and shows it to us.
I know, I'm wicked, aren't I? Drinking. I like a glass of wine when I'm doing the cooking. Don't I, Wall? Don't I like a glass of wine when I'm preparing the evening meal? Chips and egg.
She takes a slurp of white wine, puts her tumbler on the kitchen drainer, then gets out potatoes.
Oh, God. What'll it be like, eh, Wall? My fella. What'll he be like when he finds out he's only getting chips and egg for his tea?
Well, it's Thursday, you see. And if it's Thursday, it has to be steak. It's the 11th commandment. Moses declared it. Thou shalt give thy fella steak every Thursday. And if thou doesn't, thy fella will have one big gob on him all night long. I wouldn't mind. It's not even my bloody fault about the steak. You see, this morning, Gillian came round.
I don't normally have much to do with Gillian. I'm not saying she's a bragger, but if you've been to Paradise, she's got a season ticket. She's that type, Gillian, you know. If you've got a headache, she's got a brain tumour.
Oh, hello, Shirley. It appears your bell isn't working. Do you think perhaps there's something wrong with it?
That's how she talks, Gillian. You know, she begrudges you the breath.
I don't know. There must be a power cut.
Ah, well, there, you see. Eric and I have installed solar energy. Now we would never be caught out by a power failure. Shirley, I've come to ask a favour. Can you come over for a minute?
Oh, yeah, yes, sure.
Having tried her bell, Shirley goes with Gillian.
You see, Eric and I have to go away for a couple of days. Eric's giving a paper in Brussels. Bloody Brussels. I said to him, why couldn't it have been Paris or even Amsterdam? I really find Brussels such a bore.
Yeah, it must be. All those sprouts.
I'd made arrangements for Mummy to feed Playmore, but she finds now she can't do this evening. So if you could manage.
Now, we keep Claymore's food in here. Now, it's terribly simple, Shirley. You simply mix his muesli with about half a pint of milk.
Doesn't he have meat?
Oh, Shirley, we haven't had meat in this house for years. Didn't you know we'd become vegans?
No, I thought you were still Church of England.
Now, it's one bowl, Shirley. One bowl twice a day. Claymore loves his muesli, don't you, Clay, darling?
A vegetarian bloodhound.
Come on, that's it, Claymore, darling. There.
Oh, Claymore, darling, it's your favourite. I hope you're not sick.
You only had to take one look at that dog to see it was well and truly sick. Sick of the sight of muesli.
Oh, you're off your food because Mummy was 5 minutes late with it. Is that it? He'll want his dinner sharp at 5:10, and then he has a run in the garden.
Shirley lugs bags of shopping down the street to Gillian's. She goes through the gates, which have pineapples on the posts, and makes for the front door. In the kitchen, Shirley puts a bowl of food down for Claymore, who sniffs it warily.
Come on. Ooh, look, lovely dinner. Yes, lovely dinner. There's a lovely dinner. Come on, eat it up. Come on, Clay. Come on.
He turns away.
Oh, it's not natural, is it? I mean, if God had wanted to create a vegetarian dog, he wouldn't have made you a bloodhound, would he? He'd have made you a yogurt hound or a veggie burger hound. But you're a bloodhound. You need meat.
Her eyes widen and she looks towards her shopping bags.
Wait till you see what I've got for you. What's this? You wait till you taste this, Clay. Nice dinner. But you've never tasted anything like this. Now then, you get your chops round this.
She cuts up steak.
Come on, Clay. It's your birthday. Oh. Come on. That lovely.
Clay snaffles up the meat hungrily.
Greedy guts. That's Joe's tea you're guzzling.
I think chips and eggs nice for a change, don't you?
Peeling spuds.
Mind you, I don't think Joe will see it quite like that. Oh, sod it. Have another glass of wine, Shirley. Never used to drink wine. Mazar Melandra got me started on this. She said to me, she said,
everybody drinks wine now.
I like rum and coke.
For God's sake. Rum and coke went out with the Arch, didn't it, Sharon Louise? Anyway, they don't sell rum and coke in here. It's a wine bar. Look, they sell wine.
What, just wine?
Oh, for God's sake.
Well, there's thousands of different varieties of wine, Mrs. Bradshaw. I like Alsatian wine.
And that's what we're gonna have. Kids. They know everything, don't they? Our Melandra shares a flat with Sharon Louise.
Fascinated by sex. Well, I suppose I'd have been the same if I'd been born into their generation, because they discovered it, you see. The clitoris. The clitoris kids, I call them, and good luck to them. Don't begrudge them a thing. Mind you, it was different in my day.
In a pub with her friends.
We'd never even cared, the clitoris.
Oh, why not?
In those days, everyone thought it was just a case of in, out, shake it all about. Stars would light up the sky and the earth would tremble.
Hey, the only thing that trembled for me was the headboard on the bed.
Do you know, when I first read about it, I thought it was pronounced clitoris.
Oh. I think it sounds nicer that way.
That even sounds like it could be a name, doesn't it? Oh, hiya, clitoris.
How are you? That makes it sound a bit crude somehow.
No, shut up. Why not? Plenty of men walking around called Dick. Well, anyway, that's the way I thought it was pronounced when I first mentioned it to Joe. You know, sitting in the front room one night.
I said, Joe,
have you ever heard of the clitoris? He didn't even look up from his paper.
Yeah, he said, but it doesn't go as well as the Ford Escort.
Ah, they were great, those mates.
Shirley comes out of her reverie.
I don't see them anymore.
She cuts chips.
Oh, well, that's the way it goes. And now Melandra's gone, and our Brian's left home as well.
He's living in a squat now in Kirby. It's like Beirut on a bad day.
You like it, Mum?
Well, it's got that lived-in look.
We're going to plant flowers.
Oh, son. If you're going to live in a squat, couldn't you pick somewhere nice? You know, somewhere like Woolton or Childwall.
Mother, Childwall is no place for a poet.
A what?
A poet, Mum. I've become a poet. I went down the job centre today and signed on as a poet. Britain's first ever street poet.
Is there much call for that sort of thing round here?
Watch.
Brian goes over to a car with two young lads in it.
Don't rob cars. It's mad. It's bad. Think of your ma's, it'd make them sad. Your mother's would get a broken heart if you got smashed up. Get wise, get smart. Don't rob cars.
Piss off.
They drive off and Brian saunters back to Shirley.
Poets have always had a hard time of it.
They both smile, then wander off down a damp alley with their arms around each other.
I do miss them, though, the kids, don't I, Wall? There's only me and him now. What's he like? My fella. What's he like, eh, Wall? Well, he walked in one night with a smile on his face and we didn't recognise him. We thought we had a lodger, didn't we? He used to laugh, Joe. We both did. Hey, Wall, do you remember when we first moved in here? Oh, that seems a long time ago. We hadn't long been married.
Joe flicks paint at her.
Hey!
What?
I can do my own makeup, thank you very much.
Oh, sorry. Well, it's only a speck. You're bound to get a bit of paint when you're doing a job like this, aren't you?
They're decorating. Joe turns his back and Shirley dips her brush and flicks paint at him. He turns to her slowly. His face is splashed.
Hey.
What?
You did that on purpose, didn't you?
What?
Little bugger. Hit this.
No!
No, Shirley, stop.
He takes a much bigger brush.
You bugger. Ta.
No, don't.
I'll get you.
No!
They run about, flicking paint at each other.
Philip Van Gogh!
Is it for you, Moaning Lisa?
He corners her, then smears his brush down his own face.
You're a bloody nutcase, you. You're loop-de-loop. No, not kiss me like that.
Go on.
No, all right.
They're covered in paint. They rub their paint-smeared faces together. Shirley kneels behind Joe in the bath and shampoos his hair.
Aren't we the daring young things, getting a bath together? Does this mean we're perverted?
You're a nutcase, you are. I love you, Shirley Valentine.
Shirley in the kitchen in the present.
Remember that, Wall? He used to love me because I was a nutcase. Now he just thinks I am a nutcase. Lovely, that. It's not too dry. Some of it has stripped the palate off you, wouldn't it? But this is lovely. Do you know what I'd like to do, Wall? I'd like to drink a glass of wine in a country where the grape is grown. Sitting by the sea, just sipping wine and watching the sun go down.
What's going on here?
Joe's in the doorway.
Who the bloody hell are you talking to?
To the wall.
To the what?
The wall! Any objections?
Never mind the bleeding wall. It's nearly 6 o'clock. Get on with getting me tea.
Oh, my God! 6 o'clock and his tea isn't ready. Will the government collapse? Does this mean the end of civilization as we know it?
I always have my tea at 6 o'clock.
So just think how exciting it'd be if for once you had it at 6:15. It'd make the headlines. World exclusive. Joe eats late.
Joe cocks an eyebrow and stares at her.
I think you're going round the bend.
Oh, I do hope so. I've always wanted to travel.
She gets a loaf of bread.
Now listen.
No, you listen. Go and get washed and go and sit and watch the telly. You'll have your tea when it's ready.
Joe, who's a tall guy with a moustache and brown hair, looks nonplussed. He hesitates, then wanders off down the hallway. Shirley looks to us.
I always said I'd leave him when the kids grew up. But by the time they'd grown up, there was nowhere to go. Not saying he's bad, my fella. He's just no bleeding good. I don't hate men. Not a feminist. Not like Jane. Jane's me mate. I was having tea with her in a cafe the other day.
Now, Jane is a feminist. Well, she likes to think she is. She reads Cosmopolitan and she says,
all men are potential rapists.
Even the Pope?
Of course. All men, without exception. Look.
What?
Him.
What about him?
A young man drinking a cuppa.
Since we arrived, he hasn't taken his eyes off us. He spent the whole time undressing us. Go away.
Good job I put me clean underwear on.
Shirley studies curly-haired blonde Jane.
Jane divorced her husband. I never knew him. It was before I met her. Apparently, she came home from work unexpectedly one morning and found him in bed with the milkman. Honest to God, the milkman. Well, from that day forward, I've noticed she never takes milk in her tea.
Shirley, listen. I went in for a magazine competition and I won it. A fortnight's holiday for two in Greece. How about that?
Jane, what am I going to do without you for 2 weeks? You're the only one I ever talk to. Won't I miss you?
No, you won't. Because you're coming with me.
What?
I've got it all fixed. Tomorrow morning, we go to the travel agents and pick the tickets up.
But Jane, I can't.
Yes, you can. And I don't want a vote of thanks or a speech about how grateful you are. You'll be doing me a big favour by coming with me. All set? Tuesday week? And we're off. Don't suppose you've got a passport, have you?
No, but Jane, what? Jane, what about Joe? Jane, it's impossible.
Of course it's possible. It's perfectly possible. Just forget about Joe. You're married to him, not joined up for him. Has he ever taken you abroad?
No, he'd never go abroad. He hates travelling. He gets culture shock when we go to Chester.
Well, that's all right then, because he's not going, and you are.
Jane shoves her into a photo booth.
Do you know, if I told Joe I was going to Greece for a week, he'd think I was gone for the sex.
Well, let him.
Wouldn't mind. I'm not particularly fond of it, sex. I think sex is like supermarkets. You know, overrated. Just a lot of pushing and shoving and you still come out with very little at the end.
Shirley peeps round the booth curtain at Jane and beams. She steps out.
You get them out of here.
The side of the booth.
Listen, Jane, what about Joe?
Look, Shirley, if Joe doesn't want to go abroad, if he wants to behave like every other boring insular Englishman, then that's his prerogative. But you do want to go abroad. You've said so on many occasions, and now you can. That's your prerogative. It's no problem, Shirley. It's perfectly logical.
I know it's logical, dead logical. But you can't bring logic into this. We're talking about marriage. Marriage is like the Middle East. There's no solution.
Shirley's photos are ready.
Oh, God. Oh, I look like the back end of a tram smash.
Right. Now then, come on. Bikini.
Bikini? With my stretch marks? I'd be arrested for bringing the human form into disrepute.
Oh, get away.
Listen, Jane, how am I going to tell Joe that I'm off to Greece for a fortnight? Oh, by the way, Joseph, I'm just popping off to Greece for a fortnight. I just thought I'd mention it so as you can put it down in your diary. You won't mind doing your own washing and cooking for a couple of weeks, will you, doll? Nothing to it, babe. The brown blob on the right of the kitchen is the washing machine and the white blob on the left is the cooker. And don't get them mixed up or you might end up with socks on toast. Some chance they will. Some chance. Jesus, if I go to the bathroom for 5 minutes, he thinks I've been hijacked.
Still here then, are we? Haven't forgot me then, eh?
It won't be long now.
Joe rolls his eyes and goes.
See what I mean?
She gets a jar from a cupboard where there's a poster pinned up on the inside of the door. It's advertising grease. Shirley gazes at it.
Oh, I never should have taken the bloody tickets off her in the first place. I'll phone Jane tomorrow. She'll easily find someone else to go with her. And there was me when I was a girl. The only thing I ever wanted to do was travel. I wanted to be a courier or an air hostess.
Little stimulation for the brain.
But there was only the clever ones who got to do things like that. The ones like Marjorie Majors. I used to sit next to her in class.
In the world.
Marjorie?
Miss, although it's often assumed that Niagara Falls are the highest, I think, in fact, it's actually the Angel Falls.
Marjorie took private elocution lessons.
Can you tell me in what country we would find Angel Falls?
Venezuela, miss.
Excellent. 25 house points.
Some general knowledge. That makes 4 billion house points she's got so far.
And let us address ourselves to my next question. What was man's most important invention?
Shirley's hand shoots up.
Oh, do put your hand down, Shirley. You couldn't possibly know the answer.
But, miss?
Lorraine?
The Sputnik, miss?
No.
It's the Hoover,
but I knew I had the right answer.
No.
Is it the automatic washing machine, miss?
No.
Because I got it from me dad.
The aeroplane, miss.
And he got it from the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Well, come along, Marjorie.
The internal combustion engine, miss.
No, Marjorie.
Miss?
I was nearly wetting myself.
Miss?
Knowing I was on the point of receiving 43,000 house points, a blessing from the Pope and the OBE thrown in.
Oh, very well, Shirley. You might as well get it wrong along with everybody else. What was man's most important invention?
Miss, it was the wheel. Miss, it was the wheel. Man's most important invention was...
Somebody must have told you.
Well, how the bleeding hell else could I learn it?
Be quiet!
But, miss, it's not fair.
Miss Lloyd the hymn!
And all my house points and my blessing from the Pope just disappeared before my eyes. I was never really interested in school after that. I became a rebel.
In the playground...
I used to wear my school skirt so high, you'd have thought it was a serviette. I was marvellous.
Lighting a fag behind a wall.
I used to exude boredom out of every pore, and I hated everything.
What did you have last lesson?
Science.
It's garbage science.
It's boring.
What did you do in it?
She showed us this film with these rabbits having a screw.
Any good?
Super boring. I don't even like them in stew.
I hate them. Rabbits.
I hate the world. I hate everything. It's all garbage. It's last. It's crap and I hate it.
She hides when she sees a teacher.
But I didn't really hate anything. The only thing I hated was me.
Hey, do you want a drag?
Marjorie scowls and walks on.
Do you think she'll tell? She's a cow. She gives me the irrits.
Shirley Valentine!
She jumps and quickly takes her fag out of her mouth. In domestic science class, pretty blonde Marjorie uses oven gloves to take a perfect souffle from an oven. Shirley gets hers from the same oven. Hers hasn't risen. She eyes it gloomily, then puts it on a worktop beside Marjorie's towering effort.
I didn't give you away, honestly. But you shouldn't smoke. Smoking can damage your health.
And I can damage your health.
Shirley stabs a knife into Marjorie's souffle, deflating it.
God, can't you be evil when you're a kid? I used to pick on Marjorie something rotten. And all the time, I suppose I really wanted to be like her.
Your report is excellent, as usual. I'm particularly delighted to hear that you're going to stay on with us to do your A-levels, which will lead to your eventual entry into university. Congratulations, my dear.
Thank you, miss.
Marjorie takes her report and goes to sit at her desk beside Shirley.
And now we come to Miss Valentine.
Looking bored, Shirley slouches up to the teacher, stands before her, folds her arms and rolls her eyes.
Well, Shirley, naturally you are leaving us. And a brief glance at your report confirms my deep suspicion that you'll not go far in life. Which perhaps is just as well. Given your marks in geography, you'd truly get lost.
Well, tickle my tits till Friday.
Shirley snatches her report and flounces out.
Miss Valentine, will you please come back?
In a corridor. Shirley tears up her report and marches off down the corridor. In the present, in the kitchen.
Well, after I left, I never saw any more of her, Marjorie Majors. Then, a few weeks ago, I was on my way home from town, you know, loaded down with shopping.
A black cab sails past, then a Rolls-Royce.
Sod!
The Rolls hits a puddle and soaks Shirley. The chauffeur-driven car pulls up at a hotel. A woman gets out and goes back to Shirley.
I'm terribly sorry. Forgive me for asking, but didn't you used to be Shirley Valentine?
Marjorie Majors. I'd recognise those elocution lessons anywhere.
It is! It's Shirley! My God, you're drenched. Come in and have tea.
Marjorie steers her into the posh hotel nearby, standing together in a crowded lift.
Well, Marjorie, you've waited a long time for your revenge, but you got me in good style now. Well, go on. Dig the knife in quick and let's get it over with. Tell me all about you being an air hostess on Concorde.
I can't believe it, Shirley. After all these years.
No, I haven't changed a bit, have I? Still kept my youthful complexion.
We've got to get you out of those wet things. Here we are.
In a sumptuous suite, Marjorie puts a bottle of champagne in an ice bucket. A waitress wheels in a trolley. Shirley comes out from a room. She's wearing a red robe and her hair done up in a white toweling turban.
Thanks, Marjorie.
Oh, that's better.
To the waitress.
Hello.
The waitress is busy.
Now, I want to know everything that's happened to you. I want the whole story from A to Z.
Got a postage stamp, I'll write it down for you.
Won't you sit down, Shirley?
They sit on a sofa together.
Do you have children?
Yeah.
Tell me about them. Are they like you?
Well, Armaland was a bit of a mare and Brian's a head case, so yeah, they are like me.
Well, this is great, isn't it?
Yeah. So, where are you off to next?
Paris. Tonight, I'm afraid.
Is that where you live now?
No, I'm based in London, but I travel all over. From Paris, it's Athens, I think.
That's Greece, isn't it?
Yeah.
Remember that from geography? All those islands.
That's right.
Glamorous Marjorie smiles. Shirley lowers her eyes shyly.
Shall I pour now, madam? Please.
Shirley turns to the waitress again, who ignores her.
This is my friend Marjorie. We were at school together. Marjorie's an air hostess now. On Concorde.
Pardon, darling? An air hostess? My God, Shirley, whatever gave you that idea? I certainly travel widely, but I'm not an air hostess. Darling, I'm a hooker. I'm a whore.
The waitress pours tea over dainty sandwiches and almost drops the pot.
Oh, madam, I'm so sorry. I'll get you some more. Never mind, just leave it. What do we want tea for anyway? This calls for a celebration.
I just can't believe it. You a hooker? Honest, Marjorie?
Yes, honest.
And all that money your mother spent on those elocution lessons?
Do you know something? I always hated the way I had to speak. I still do.
I think you speak lovely. You, Marjorie Majors, a hooker.
A top-class hooker, of course. Mind you, I always was top of the class, wasn't I? Are you shocked, darling?
No, I'm not. I was just thinking about all those house points.
Shirley now sits alone on the sofa, minus her turban, and sipping champagne. Marjorie comes out with an album and sits beside her again.
I found it.
Mm.
Is that our class?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Look at me hair.
Where's your favourite?
Yeah, that cow, Miss Dedham.
Marjorie's smoking.
Remember, Marjorie, smoking is bad for your health.
God, what a pain in the neck I was.
No, you weren't. Do you know, I never forgave myself for what I did to that beautiful souffle of yours.
Yes? Yes. Oh, right. Tell him I'll be down in 5 minutes. Hell, it's my car for the airport. Oh, I wish I didn't have to go. It's been such a lovely afternoon.
Yeah. And do you know, when I first saw you, I almost fled.
Why?
Ah, I don't know why. I thought you'd come lording it over me.
Me? Lording it over you? Don't you realise I wanted to be like you?
And I wanted to be like you.
Marjorie smiles warmly.
If only we'd known. Could have been great mates, you know, real close.
It's been fun, hasn't it?
Yeah. Mary, you're off to Paris now. That's lovely.
Yes. But I'd rather be here talking to you.
Well, then.
They leave the hotel together. A doorman in uniform holds open a door of the Rolls as Marjorie approaches it and turns to Shirley.
Can I give you a lift?
No, I'm fine, thanks. I've still got a bit more shopping to do.
Tall, slender Marjorie bends, kisses Shirley on the cheek, and hugs her.
And there was real affection in that kiss. It was the sweetest kiss I'd known in years.
The two women part and stare at each other.
Goodbye, Shirley. Goodbye, Shirley Valentine.
Goodbye, Shirley Valentine. What happened to her? What happened to Shirley Valentine? She got married to a boy called Joe. And even though her name was changed to Bradshaw, she was still Shirley Valentine for a while. She knew who she was. But somewhere along the way, the boy called Joe turned into him. And Shirley Valentine turned into this.
She bows her head and weeps. She walks down a cobbled street.
And what I can't remember is the day, or the week, or the month, or when it happened. When it stopped being good. When Shirley Valentine disappeared and became just another name on the missing persons list.
Shirley shelters in a shop doorway.
He says he still loves me, you know. He doesn't. It's just something he says. It's funny, isn't it, I love you? It's like it makes everything all right. Like you can be beaten and battered and half insane, and if you complain, he'll say, what's wrong? You know, I love you. I love you. They should bottle it and sell it. It cures everything.
Shirley flicks fat onto fried eggs with a spatula.
And I know what you're thinking. Why don't I leave? Well, I'm terrified, if you want to know. I'm terrified that if I left, there'd be nowhere for me to go. No place for me in the life beyond the wall. When I was a girl, I used to jump off our roof.
Is it ready, then?
Joe speaks from behind the glass kitchen door, then enters.
I get me tea at 6 o'clock and it's nearly 10 past. What's going on?
It's ready. Sit down.
She plates up their egg and chips, then puts them on the small, round kitchen table and sits down opposite Joe. There's a can of beer and a glass laid out for Joe. Shirley puts sauce on her plate. Joe looks at his plate and frowns. Shirley, avoiding his perplexed, hostile gaze, reaches for the salt and pepper.
What's this, then?
What?
What is this?
Well, it looks very like chips and egg to me, but maybe it's a trick question.
It's Thursday. We have steak on Thursday. We always have steak on Thursday.
Well, all right, it's Thursday, but we're having chips and egg for a change. You like chips and egg?
On a Tuesday. I like chips and egg on a Tuesday. today is Thursday.
Well, pretend it's Tuesday.
Where's me steak?
I give it the dog.
What dog?
Gillian's dog across the street.
Is this it? Have you finally gone round a friggin' pipe?
She shuffles in her seat.
Look at me. I'm working from morning till night. Working me tripe out. And what do I find? You talking to the wall. Giving me tea to any friggin' straight doctor comes along. And I'm expected to eat this. Well, I'm not eating this. I'm not eating shite.
He repeatedly stabs a forefinger into the egg yolks, then shoves the plate across the table. It hits her plate, sending it and the contents into her lap. Shirley returns her plate to the table and slowly gets up.
Chips and egg. Chips and friggin' egg. And I'm working all the hours of godsends. I don't know why I bother. I don't know what I'm doing it all for.
She shows him the poster.
What's that?
It's a place. It's a place I'm going to.
Oh, I get it. That's the name of the game, is it?
Joe gets up.
I'm not getting fed properly because you're saving for a foreign friggin' holiday. Well, I'm telling you now, you can just forget it. I am not going to no Greece. Get it?
Day. Shirley enters a shop and picks up a shopping basket. She goes to a shelf full of suntan lotions and picks out one, Florida Bronze. Shirley hesitates, then puts it in her basket. Standing beside a travel section in a bookstore, she reads a Greek phrase book. She smiles to herself and takes the book. Shirley comes out of the passport office, flicking through the pages of her passport and studying them. In a lingerie store, Shirley tries girly cream knickers against herself.
Oh, hello, Shirley. What are you doing here?
I'm just buying a few. They're quite nice, aren't they? It's marvellous what they can do with man-made fibres these days, isn't it? You'd almost think it was silk if you weren't familiar with the real thing. But I expect they're quite nice for your Melandra.
Oh, no, Gillian, I'm not buying them for Melandra. I'm buying them for myself.
Oh, these are better, yes.
Yes, but I shan't be wearing them for myself. I shall be wearing them for my lover. Yes, we fly out tomorrow, my lover and I, for a fortnight in the Greek islands. Just 2 weeks of sun, sand, drama, salata, and whatever else takes our fancy. Oh, well, I must be off now, Gillian. I've still got a few more things to buy. I don't suppose you noticed which count of the garter belts were on, did you? No. Oh, well, never mind. I'll find them. Ta-ra, Gillian.
She's taken black lacy knickers instead. Home. Shirley brings her case downstairs. She's wearing a fitted pale pink costume which flatters her neat figure. She goes to check her bag on the kitchen table.
Passport. Tickets, money. Passport, tickets, money. 4 o'clock, Jane's picking me up. 10 past 11. Oh, I feel sick. Those travel sickness pills mustn't be working. I still feel sick and I've taken 4 already. And I've only travelled up and down the stairs. Passport, tickets, money. Got a full one, wall. Proper passport. Well, you never know, Shirley. This could be the start of something. This year, Greece. Next year, the world. Oh, God, I know I should have told him. 10 days I've been secretly ironing and packing. It's been like living in a bleeding prison. I'm cooking all his meals for the next fortnight. They're all in the freezer. My mother's going to come in and defrost them and do his cooking for him. With a bit of luck, you won't even notice I'm not here. Oh, God.
She wipes the sink.
God. Look, I know I'm being cruel and I know I'll have to pay for it when I get back. And I don't mind paying for it then, but just do me a favour, God, and don't make me pay for it during the 2 weeks. Keep everyone safe, please.
Shirley freezes briefly. She stands in the kitchen doorway, looking down the hall towards the front door, then hurriedly shoves her passport and tickets into her handbag. She grabs her sun hat and some hand luggage and stows them in a hall cupboard. Shirley takes a house coat from the cupboard and pulls it on as she makes for the front door. She suddenly remembers her suitcase and stows that in the hall cupboard too. Composing herself and fastening the buttons of her floral housecoat, she goes to the door, still wearing large earrings.
I hate that Sharon Louise. She's a mer. I don't know why I ever went to live with her in the first place. Mother, I've come back to live with you.
Melandra hugs her.
Mother, will you make me some cocoa and toast like you used to? I'm going to my room.
Melandra hurries upstairs. Shirley watches her wide-eyed, then hauls Melandra's many bags inside. She dumps them in the hallway, then with a pained look, shuts the front door. Melandra's sitting up in bed reading a Beano annual. Shirley brings her a mug of cocoa. Melandra doesn't look up from reading as she takes it.
She's a cow, that's Sharon Louise. I don't know why I ever left you, Mother. Mother, you haven't put enough sugar in this cocoa. Will you go down and get us another spoon?
Melandra holds the mug out as she reads. Shirley takes it down to the kitchen and puts another spoonful of sugar in it.
What am I doing, Wall? She's only been back 5 minutes and she's got me strutting round like R2 bleeding D2.
She takes the cocoa back up to Melandra. Melandra takes it, sips it, and carries on reading.
Oh, thanks, Mother, that's brilliant. Oh, I love being back home. We'll go downtown on Saturday, shall we, Mother, like we used to? Do some shopping together, eh? Just you and me.
Yeah, but...
Mother, do us a favour and bring the telly upstairs, will you? Melandra? Melandra, I'm really pleased you've come home. You know, because I've missed you.
Oh, I've missed you, Mother. I've been homesick, you know.
And I mean, I've never said that. I've never complained, because I think kids should have their own lives. But there's been many a time I'd love to have sat and had a talk with you, or gone to town with you, or had a meal, or shared a laugh.
Mother!
Just like, not as your mother, but as another human being.
Well, Mother, could you get the telly for us? Play School's gonna be on in a minute.
But I couldn't. Because you had your own life. Your own interests and your own friends. None of it to do with me.
Yeah, well, that's okay, because now I've come back home.
Yes, you've come home. And that's fantastic. And you couldn't have picked a better time for it. It'll be a great help having you here to look after your father.
Why, what's wrong with him?
Oh, there's nothing wrong with him. It's just with me not being here for the next 2 weeks.
Melandra gapes at her.
What?
With me and Jane going to Greece today.
You and going to Greece? What for?
For 2 whole weeks.
That Jane? And you? What's my father had to say about it?
Well, I haven't told him.
I think it's a disgrace.
What?
Me own mother behaving like that.
Melandra, I thought you'd been made up for me.
Made up? Made up? I think it's disgusting.
Hold on, what's disgusting about it?
2 middle-aged women going to Greece on their own. It's disgusting.
Oh, don't be silly. Love, where are you going?
I'm going back to my flat. Greece, at your age, you and that Jane, it's obscene.
You are jumping to exactly the same conclusions as your father would. You think I'm off to Greece on a grab-a-granny fortnight.
Melandra flings her bags outside. Shirley calls to her from an upstairs window.
That's right, Melandra, I'm going to Greece for the sex. Sex for breakfast, sex for dinner, sex for tea, and sex for supper.
Sounds like a marvellous diet, love.
It is. Have you never heard of it? It's called the F plan.
Shirley shuts the window and flops on a bed.
You going to Greece, what for? What am I going for?
She sits up and looks at herself in a long mirror.
Shirley, you are one silly bitch. You're 42, not 22.
You're just another stupid woman looking for adventure. When the time for adventures is over. I'm gonna phone Jane. Tell her I'm not coming.
Shirley walks gloomily along the hall to the kitchen and goes to the phone, which is on a worktop. A figure shows through the stained glass upper half of the door as Shirley goes to open up.
Oh, hello, Shirley. Is Joe at home?
No, Gillian, Joe isn't at home. And listen, if you've come to spill the beans, don't bother.
Shirley, I haven't come to spill any beans. I just wanted to check that Joseph wasn't home.
Gillian's hiding a package behind her back.
Before I gave you this, I want you to have it for your trip to Greece. Would you open it?
Shirley opens the pink box and pulls out a robe.
It is silk, but it's never been worn. You see, I was never brave enough.
Oh, Gillian.
I wish I'd had your bravery.
Listen,
please, Gillian. Shirley, don't say anything. It's yours. I just wanted you to know. I think you're marvellous.
Gillian hurries out.
Gillian!
Shirley stands for a moment, stunned, then tries on the flowing, patterned silk robe and admires herself in a hall mirror.
Gillian really believes it. All that rubbish about me taking a lover. She really believes it's possible. In her eyes, I'm no longer Shirley Bradshaw, middle-aged housewife, beginning to sag a bit. I'm Shirley the Brave. Shirley the Marvellous.
She speaks to her reflection.
Shirley Valentine. From now on, when I look in the mirror, I'm not going to say, Christ, you're 42. I'm going to say, hey, Shirley, you're only 42. Isn't that marvellous?
She takes off the robe and her housecoat, then sticks a post-it note on the poster inside the cupboard door. Gone to Greece, back in 2 weeks. Night, Joe arrives home in his car. He runs to the front door and enters. He switches on the hall light and throws down his keys. He puts down his briefcase and heads for the kitchen, which is in darkness.
Shell?
He turns on the light, looks about, then goes to the cupboard door with the poster on the inside of it. The door is wide open. He sees the note, rips it off, and screws it up. Joe stares down, then walks slowly over to the kitchen sink. He throws the note aside, then catches his reflection in the window ahead of him, which is streaked with rain. He stares at his sombre, sagging features. Children and adults play in shallow, azure blue water which is bordered by a sandy beach lined with umbrellas. A speedboat leaves a white trail in the bay. A family wearing brightly coloured clothes walk along the beach. Shirley, who's wearing a swimming costume, sits among rocks beneath a large yellow and white striped umbrella. She's in a quiet cove at one end of the beach. She sits up, points to us, and removes her sunglasses.
Hey. Bet you didn't recognise me. I hardly recognise myself these days. I love it here. Don't I rock? That's rock. We met the first day I got here. I found this little place. I found you, didn't I rock? I talked to you. Rock. He's got his name running right through him. Now, of course, I talk to Rock, but he doesn't talk to me. He can't, you see. He's a Greek rock. He can't understand a bleeding word I'm saying. I might have risked the main beach if it had been with Jane, but on my own I felt a bit, you know, conspicuous. Because Jane met a fella, didn't she? Not here, on the plane.
trust God.
On the plane, a blonde guy walks ahead of Jane to his seat. Jane slides past a woman to sit next to Shirley, who's got the window seat.
Where have you been?
Told you. Just to the loo.
I was beginning to think you'd fallen down it.
Shirley. Shirley. See him?
The blonde guy.
What, the walking groin?
Shirley, listen, he's just invited me out to dinner. Tonight. He's got a villa on the other side of the island from us with an olive grove. Oh, Shirley, it's only for tonight. We'll still do all the things we planned. You don't mind, do you?
Listen, Jane, I think you've probably blown the Feminist of the Year award, so just leave it out, will you? I mean, obviously, it's been a difficult time for you since your fella ran off with the milkman. And now you've got this opportunity, I don't want you to give another thought to me. You go to his villa and enjoy yourself and give his olives a good pressing.
Shirley, thanks for being so understanding.
Shirley's in customs. Given the go-ahead by a customs officer, she takes her case. Shirley walks on, then stops and gazes ahead. Shirley lugs her case along the narrow outer deck of the ferry.
All right, love.
Squeezing past passengers seated around the deck, Shirley stands looking out across the blue water to clusters of low white buildings on land. She looks starry-eyed. Fishing boats bob around in the sun-drenched port. Shirley's standing beside a seated man and woman on a bus.
Here we are, love. You sit here.
Oh, no, thanks. I'd rather stand. I can see more. I don't blame you, love. You don't know what's been on these seats, do you? Do you know what I mean?
The woman pulls a face, then gives a cheeky smile to the man. The bus travels along a dusty road. On one side, white houses lead down to the sea. Stone walls bleached by the sun separate parcels of parched land. The bus comes to a halt on a narrow road beside a simple white hotel building. The passengers get off the bus.
We usually go to Lorette, don't we?
Couldn't get booked, could we?
Right, we usually go to Majorca. Oh. But...
Shirley stares ahead with a contented smile. Others glare across at the Mandula Hotel.
Travel agent said we'd like it here. I'm a bit dubious myself.
Where's the disco? Where's the bar?
More life in a crematorium.
Oh, Sydney, it was like I'd come to the far side of paradise. And I loved it. Jane never did come back that night, you know. Or the next morning. First I was a bit scared being on my own, but then I found this little place. I thought, why am I so terrified of being on my own? I'm an expert at it. And then I started to relax.
She passes a crowded cafe in the port.
She still hasn't come back, you know. Has she, Rock? There must be marvellous olives.
Shirley, who's tanned and wearing a sun top and white skirt, enters the hotel dining room.
Funny, isn't it? But if you're a woman on your own, it doesn't half seem to upset people.
She walks out to a terrace.
Hey, Arenas.
Good evening, madame. And how are you this evening?
Marvellous, thanks. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I feel a little pain in the back. But I say to myself, if I feel a little pain in the back, at least it means I'm not dead. Now, madame, tonight I have for you some calamaris. Cooked with a little garlic, yes? And butter and lemon. Plenty of lemon. It's beautiful.
Lovely.
Bon appétit, madame.
Thanks.
She sits at a table overlooking the sea and sips the wine she's been poured.
Now listen, love. You can't go on like this.
Pardon?
It's not right. We can't help noticing that you're on your own.
Who?
So we've arranged for another chair at our table. Oh,
no, thanks very much.
We want you to come and join us.
No, thanks very much. I'd really
now,
much...
Now, come on, love. I'll take your drink.
The woman smiles and teeters off with Shirley's wine jug and glass. Shirley follows, scowling.
I wouldn't be surprised if they all burst out into applause, because I've been rescued from loneliness by Jeanette and Dougie from Manchester.
Make yourself at home. Now, have you got a jacuzzi?
No.
Well, maybe it's just the thing you've been waiting for. Because you always wanted a jacuzzi, didn't you, Jeanette?
I'd had dreams about getting a jacuzzi. Michael Caine's got one, you know.
Oh.
So we get this jacuzzi, like, but what we found was we couldn't fit it in our bathroom. So what I did was...
You built an extension.
I built an extension, didn't I?
It's a good job of not having soup, or I'll put my head in it and drown myself.
Finished?
Well, I couldn't eat that.
The waiter takes their food.
Say what you like. It's not Lorette, is it?
Aye. But the thing is, Dougie, I could like Greece. I could, if it were more like Spain.
I take your point. Yeah.
It's not, is it?
No, it's not. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why Greece isn't like Spain. Because Greece, well, it's all too Greek. Take me point. And that's what's wrong with Greece. It's like them fishing boats out there in the bay. I said to her this morning, didn't I, Thelma?
Mm.
I said to her, if you take a close look at the side of them boats, you know the bit where it says the name of the boat builder? And I'll bet you a pound to a penny. It says Noah. Didn't I say that to you? I bloody did.
Excuse me. You do watch the Olympic Games, I take it. And you do realise it was the Greeks who invented the Olympic Games. Oh, yes, Jeanette. They invented a lot of things, the Greeks. Where do you suppose your jacuzzi came from?
Kmart.
Ah, yes. But who invented it? The Greeks. Actually, the Greeks. And it was the Greeks, I'll have you know, who were responsible for the most important invention of all, the wheel. The English, don't talk to me about the English. Because while the Greeks were building roads and cities and temples, what were the English doing? I'll tell you what the English were doing. They were running round in loincloths, ploughing up the earth with the arse bone of a giraffe.
Everyone stares and shuffles. They then turn back to their tables.
Madame?
Rinos serves Shirley, Jeanette and Dougie.
Hey, mate. What is this?
It's calamari, sir.
I know that. But what I'm asking you, Zorba, is what is it?
Sir, it's calamari. It's a type of fish.
Well, it don't look much like fish to me.
Sir, I can promise you, it's fish. This fish was pulled fresh from sea this evening by my brother. In a boat called Noah. Enjoy me.
Jeanette and Dougie eat and look subdued.
They're that type, you know. If they'd been at the last supper, they'd have asked for chips. Very nice, the squid, isn't it?
Pardon?
I say, the squid, the octopus, it's really quite nice.
Jeanette starts to pant and looks faint. Her eyes roll and she slides beneath the table. Jeanette's recovered and is doing Greek dancing with all the others. Shirley comes downstairs and watches them from reception.
You will join with your friends?
Yeah, I don't think so, Rinos. After what I said at dinner time, I don't think I'd be too popular, do you?
Maybe not.
He ushers her towards the steps leading down into the now empty restaurant. Shirley walks down the road from the hotel in the soft golden light of dusk. Her hair is swept back behind her ears, and she wears red hooped earrings. Her strappy black suntop with white polka dots is nipped in at the waist by a red belt, and her long white skirt is trimmed with the suntop material. She walks to a beach.
Mm.
Hearing voices, she turns and makes for a taverna beside the small sandy beach. Inside, a swarthy man with a large dark moustache stops playing the guitar when he sees Shirley walk onto the taverna terrace. He goes to her and puts his guitar on a table.
You like something?
I'd like a drink, please.
Sure, gin, whiskey, what?
No, wine. Greek wine.
Ah, Retsina.
Well, I like that.
It's Greek. I think you like. Spiro, Retsina.
Erkete Costa.
Hey, excuse me. I know this sounds a bit soft, but would you mind? I mean, like, would you object if I was to move this table and chair over there by the edge of the sea?
He shoots a lazy glance towards the beach.
You want I move table, chair to edge of sea? Why? You don't like my bar?
Yeah, it's a lovely bar. It's just that I've got this soft little dream about sitting at a table by the edge of the sea.
Ah, a dream. So, I move table to edge of sea. I make your dream come true.
Yeah, I think so.
Sure, it's no problem.
He smiles. A red sunset over the water. The taverna owner, who wears jeans and a white shirt, carries a chair and a tray with wine and a glass on it down to the water's edge. Spiro sets a table down there and goes back inside.
Thanks.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I moved table to sea and tonight in my bar I tell to customer tonight. Tonight I make someone's dream come true. Please.
He pours her Retsina and motions for her to sit down, then points to the view. He goes back inside. Shirley sits staring out and heaves a big sigh. The sun flares gold on the darkening horizon. The taverna owner, who has a mop of thick black hair, stands watching Shirley, who's silhouetted against the deep red-gold sunset. She talks to us.
Funny, isn't it? You know when you've pictured something? When you've imagined how something's going to be, well, it never turns out like that, does it? I mean, for weeks, I've pictured myself sitting here. Sitting here, drinking wine by the sea, and I knew exactly how I was going to feel. Now I'm here, it doesn't feel a bit like that. I don't feel at all lovely and serene. I feel pretty daft, actually. And awfully old.
The sun sinks. Shirley sits looking up at the moon wistfully.
I've led such a little life. And even that'll be over pretty soon. I have allowed myself to lead this little life when inside me there was so much more. And it's all gone unused. And now it never will be. Why do we get all this life if we don't ever use it? Why do we get all these feelings and dreams and hopes if we don't ever use them?
The breeze blows her hair as she sits alone, tearfully.
That's where Shirley Valentine disappeared. She got lost in all this unused life.
The taverna owner watches her pensively, then goes to stand behind Shirley. He moves to her side and sits on something nearby, as Shirley stares down in glum thought, seemingly unaware of him.
Dreams. They are never in the place you expect them to be.
He turns to her, and she shakes her head faintly. He gets up.
Come, I escort you to your hotel.
Okay.
I am Kostas Dimitriadis.
I'm Shirley. Hello.
Hello.
He bows his head politely as he shakes her offered hand. Shirley shoulders her white handbag and they walk together.
Thanks for seeing me home.
No, I enjoy. So, tomorrow you won't come with me.
Pardon?
I take brother boat. We go around the island.
Oh, no, thanks. I mean, honestly, you've been really kind, but...
It's no problem. It's my pleasure. I come bring you early.
No, really. I mean, I don't think I should.
You're afraid.
No, of course not.
You're afraid. You're afraid I won't make fuck with you.
What?
Of course, I won't make fuck with you. You are a beautiful woman. You know, a man would be crazy not to want to make fuck with you. But I don't ask you to fuck. I ask you come brother boat. Different thing. Boat is boat. Fuck is fuck.
Absolutely bloody charming.
Dougie and Jeanette pass by.
So I come tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock. I bring food, I bring wine. And we go. Tomorrow, I just make you happy. No need to be sad. And no need to be afraid. I give word of honor. I don't try to make a fuck with you.
He meets Shirley's gaze.
Okay.
Okay. See you in the morning.
He nods and bows his head as they shake hands. Shirley makes her way over to the hotel.
Oh, God. He's come up to my rooms.
All right, I'm coming.
Day, Shirley finishes making up and goes to the door.
Oh, Shirley, can you forgive me? I've been completely selfish, haven't I?
Jane enters their room.
But I'm going to make it up to you. Oh, come on, say you forgive me. Let's make today the real start of our holiday. I've hired the car. We'll tour the island, stop off and have lunch somewhere really nice, just the two of us. Oh, Shirley, can you forgive me?
Of course I forgive you.
Ah.
Jane hugs her.
I know you must have been having the most awful time. Suppose you've just been sitting here talking to the wall, haven't you? Never mind. I'll do a quick change and we'll get straight off.
Jane goes to unzip her bag.
Yes, what is it? Room service? Shirley, did you order something?
It's Kostas.
Shirley, you come now. You're late. I put food, wine on board. I wait down, but you don't come. Then... Realization, Shirley and me, we are going to bed so late last night. Probably she's overslept.
Oh, yeah.
So, you come now. I wait down. Please hurry. I apologize for interrupt. You may now continue cleaning room.
He turns away from Jane and bows his head to Shirley.
Shirley, what are you playing at?
Me?
You're the one who went off with the walking groin.
Now, look, Shirley, you've never been abroad before. You don't know what you're doing.
Jane, he's just a kind man.
Oh, Shirley. Men like that, these Greek islanders, they're just waiting for bored middle-aged women.
Don't you dare!
Shirley grabs a plastic bag.
Shirley! I just hope you know what you're doing. I hope for your sake you're going to be safe.
Oh, I'm sure I will. He's a very good sailor. And anyway, he's given me his word of honour he won't try and make fuck with me.
Round a corner, Dougie and Jeanette here.
Dougie, Jeanette, how are you both? This is my friend Jane. I was just telling her what a marvellous couple you are. And you know what she said? She said she'd love to spend an hour or two on the beach with you. Bye-bye, Jane.
Well, we were just off to the beach, actually.
You come with us, love. You're more than welcome.
Jane follows them, glaring. Costas's brother's fishing boat chugs past boats in the port and out to sea. The red prow cuts through the deep blue water. A Greek flag flies at the top of the mast. Shirley, in sleeveless dark blouse and white jeans, is at the rudder.
I'm steering the boat, you know.
Costas, wearing blue jeans and a dark blue shirt, stands on the prow, then walks back to Shirley as they skirt sun-baked rocks. He sits with her.
So we try to pass in this direction. There we are going to find a small bay. Very beautiful. There we are going to fish. We eat, drink, talk. Come on.
He puts a hand near hers on the rudder to steer. Shirley stares down at it for a moment, then removes her hand. Shirley stands holding the mast while Costas steers. She stares across at a small sandy bay as the boat sails towards it. Clear blue water laps up on the beach. The boat is anchored. Wine and the remains of a picnic are on the boat's wheelhouse roof.
With the rope, you know.
She throws bread into the water.
What is it with you, Costas?
No, I don't.
You really know how to talk to women, don't you? I mean, most fellas, you know, they've got no idea of how to talk to a woman.
No?
No. They feel they have to take over the conversation. I mean, with most fellas, if you say something like, my favourite season's autumn, they go,
oh, is it? My favourite season's spring.
And then you've got 10 minutes of them talking about why they like spring, and you ain't talking about spring, you're talking about autumn.
Her eyes meet his as he studies her and nods vacantly.
So what do you do? Talk about what they want to talk about. You don't talk at all. Or you wind up talking to yourself.
Costas, who has a rugged face and long nose, smiles faintly.
You don't do that.
I just like listen. Also look.
He gives her a quick glance up and down. She smiles.
For you, I am happy.
He raises his glass to her, then sips his wine. She smiles at him. Then stares down at the water. Costas looks at her.
Hey, Costas. How deep do you think it is down there?
Oh, maybe 1,000 meters.
Go away.
Maybe 10,000. Who knows? Maybe so deep. We go on forever.
I want to jump in.
You want to swim?
I want to jump off the roof.
I think Shirley Valentine is a bit crazy.
Costas, Shirley Valentine is loop the fucking loop.
Loop the fucking loop.
The only thing is, I haven't got my cosy on.
No cosy waters.
Mr. I'm in costume.
Ah!
He shrugs, then starts to unbutton his shirt. Shirley gets up and begins to strip. She removes her top and stands bare-breasted before him. The boat bobs gently in the sunshine as the pair of them strip naked. Costas dives in. Shirley raises her arms and jumps into the water. She surfaces with a look of bliss. Costas surfaces and they splash each other.
To be with such a good man. I know whatever happens, he won't take anything from me. I know he'll keep his promise. The truth is, I don't want him to.
She swims to him and they put their arms about each other's necks and move into a tender kiss. They stand naked on deck, hugging. Costas gently draws Shirley down onto the sunny deck. Costas lies on top of Shirley and kisses her. As he draws back a little, she stares deeply into his eyes, then pulls him back towards her, locking him in a passionate embrace. Surf gently rolls up onto the beach. The boat rocks, waves crash onto the beach. The boat rocks wildly and the surf pounds faster.
Oh my God! Where did that orchestra come from? Oh.
Shirley lies back blissfully as Costas kisses her body, working his way down. Her eyes widen and she sits up.
They kiss my stretch marks. You kiss my stretch marks.
don't be too stupid to try to hide these lines. They are lovely because they are part of you and you are lovely. So don't hide. Be proud, no? Show. These marks show that you're alive. That you survive. Don't try to hide these lines. They are the marks of life.
Oh, man, full of shit.
A red-gold sunset reflects off the water as their boat trundles across the bay. Shirley stares out ahead while Costas is at the rudder. She talks to us.
I think I've fallen in love.
Day at the cove.
Oh, for God's sake, Shirley. You're acting like a stupid teenager. I suppose the next thing you're going to tell me was that the earth moved.
Jane, I thought there'd been an earthquake.
Oh, spare me the details, please.
Oh, listen, Jane. Jane, listen. I haven't fallen in love with him. It was sweet. It was a day full of kindness. But I haven't fallen in love with him.
Jane flounces off.
I haven't fallen in love with him. I've fallen in love with the idea of living.
Why? I mean, why did she have to do this to me? If she wanted to go on holiday, all she had to do was ask. Had a letter. I mean, there's no need for deceit. I mean, I may not be the best husband in the world, Wall, but I love her. I do, I love her. Honest.
Get flowers.
Orea.
Yes, good
flower. How much is it?
One flower.
Here. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Oh, a
parister. The woman gives her a rose to go with her flowers.
Bravo, Magirio!
A band plays as it walks through the port leading a bridal party. Costas is with the party. Sitting at a table on a cafe terrace, Shirley stirs a cuppa, and looks across at the raggle-taggle party. She smiles, then looks more alert when she sees Costas. He stops when he spots her.
Join the family. My niece will be coming back.
No, I can't. I mean, I can
go in. Come, look. It's good. It's good that we meet here.
Wearing a suit and open-neck shirt, he leads Shirley away. A Greek Orthodox priest awaits the couple to be married outside the church.
Όλησαν και σύζευξαν τους δούλους τούτους εν ομοφροσύνη, στεφάνωσαν αυτούς της αρκαμία, ότι σών το κράτος και σου εστί η βασιλεία και η δύναμις και η δόξα του Πατρός και του Υιού και του Αγίου Πνεύματος, νυν και αΐ και εις τους αιώνας των αιώνων.
Shirley watches the ceremony in the candle-lit church. Costas's face muscles twitch as he stands beside the bride and looks very serious. He glances over at Shirley, and they exchange a smile. The priest puts garlands attached to each other by a ribbon on the bride and groom's heads. Costas, standing behind the couple, ceremoniously swaps the garlands around. Shirley watches and smiles.
Ίσα ία χόρευε η Παρθένος έσχενε γαστρί.
The priest leads the couple out as the guests, including Shirley, throw rice. Costas holds the joined garlands on the couple's heads as they walk. Night, in the taverna, Costas holds his arms and a jug of wine in the air as he dances across the room, past men and women dancing in similar style. Shirley laughs and smiles as she sits at a table and claps to the music. The bride and groom dance. Tables are laden with jugs of wine and bowls of fruit. A guy in a fisherman's cap cheers.
Bravo!
Costas, carrying a jug of wine, dances over to Shirley and sits with her.
You enjoy it?
It's wonderful!
The men standing there.
A middle-aged woman pulls Costas away to dance with her. He stands behind the woman, his arms spread wide, and they move back and forth to the music. Shirley sits watching as people twirl and step to the music. Some wave kerchiefs in the air. Shirley looks sad and sighs deeply. Costas looks over to where she is and sees her chair is empty. Costas scans about, then hurries out and catches her up on the taverna terrace.
Shirley, where are you going? You don't like my family, right, friends?
No, Costas, they're lovely.
So why you go?
I just want to be on my own for a bit. Do you understand?
You are again sad.
No, I'm not sad. It's just that I go back home soon.
Back to your own life.
Yeah. Go on. Go back to them. They're all waiting for you.
Well, I see you tomorrow.
Yeah. See you tomorrow.
They stand holding each other's gaze, then Shirley heads off. Costas turns and watches her go, his brow furrowed. Soft lights shine out from Shirley's hotel. As she walks up the road towards it, she glances back, then sits on a low stone wall.
I've got this thought in my head. This shocking thought. And it won't go away. I keep trying to think of other things to make this thought go away, but it won't. It's always there in my head.
Mm-hmm. Costas plays guitar for a couple at a table on the Taverna Terrace. Shirley sits at the bar, staring into space.
If for some reason I didn't go back home, who would miss me?
A middle-aged couple walk into the Taverna bar where wooden doors are wide open to the terrace.
Zwei Kaffee, bitte.
Hey? Two cafes, please. Oh, yeah. Yeah, two coffees.
Right.
Shirley goes to pour coffee from a filter jug and talks to herself.
I mean, look. If I didn't go back, who would really care? They'd notice I wasn't there, but they wouldn't miss me. Would they? Why should I go back to being that woman when that woman isn't needed anymore?
The Germans leave.
Dummy job. There's nothing else for me to do.
She turns, holding two cups of coffee, and sees that the couple has left.
Oh.
Shirley, who are you talking to?
The wall, Costas. Just the wall.
She offers him one of the coffees.
My God.
Sitting outside a restaurant, Jane tries to call a waiter over.
Excuse me. Signal me.
I'm serious, Jane. I mean it.
Oh, for God's sake. What about your children, for a start?
What about them? They're grown up. Jane, I've spent 20-odd years rearing them, looking after them till they were old enough to make their own way, and they have. They've gone. I mean, they'll say it's awful. They'll say it's terrible to have a mother who went on holiday and didn't come back. But they'll get over it. I mean, would it cause anyone any real suffering if I didn't go home?
Jane rolls her eyes and sighs.
Would it, Jane?
Shirley, every year, millions and millions of people go on holiday. And every year, those same millions and millions of people have such a good time that they don't want to go back.
Yeah, but just suppose...
And that's all there is to it. Now, if you don't mind, Shirley, I'm trying to order lunch. Can we have two Greek salads, please? And stuffed tomatoes.
Yes.
And is the moussaka special on?
Yes.
Yeah, moussaka special, please. And one lamb with green beans.
Because we don't do what we want to do, do we?
No,
we do what we have to do and pretend it's what we want to do. And what I want to do is to stay here. I'll be Shirley Valentine. But what I have to do is to go back to being St. Joan of the kitchen sink.
The holidaymakers at the Mandula get on the hotel bus.
Shirley, come on, it's just going.
I'm coming. Goodbye, Venus. Thanks.
Madame, you come back next year, I hope.
Oh, Venus, I hope.
Carol Taxatis, madame.
He kisses her hand.
Aparisto, Venus. Karate.
Shirley, your bags are on board. Come on.
Rinos watches Shirley as she walks briskly towards the bus.
Shirley!
Costas runs up steps to her.
Costas, we said goodbye.
Yes, but I are here. So... Goodbye, Shirley. Goodbye, Shirley Valentine.
See you, Costas.
He lays a hand on her neck, then draws her towards him and they hug tightly. Shirley gives him a tender look before turning away to the bus. Jane, watching them through the bus window, rolls her eyes. As the bus trundles away down the steep road towards the sea, Costas stands watching in the sunshine. Shirley, sitting on the back seat of the bus with Jane, turns and sees Costas with his arms raised high in farewell. She settles back in her seat and stares ahead miserably. Jane and Shirley are checking in. Shirley's bag is tagged and put on a conveyor belt. She watches it as it slowly moves away. Jane collects the boarding passes.
Right then.
Your attention, please. This is the last call of Olympic Airways flight 259 to Manchester. Closing now at gate number 1. Προσοχή παρακαλώ, τελευταία αναγγελία αναχώρησης πτήσεως Ολυμπιακής Αεροπορίας 271 για Manchester.
Shelley, where are you going?
Shirley hurries away out of the airport. Jane turns to Jeanette and Dougie.
She's gone. What do you expect?
Jeanette.
Carrying nothing but her hand luggage and her handbag, Shirley walks down the dusty road to Costas's bar. She crosses the terrace and stands in the doorway.
Tomorrow we take my brother boat. We go all around the island. You're afraid? Afraid I won't try to make fuck with you.
What?
But I don't ask to try to make fuck with you. I ask to come brother boat. It's different thing. Boat is boat and fuck is fuck.
Costa spots Shirley in the doorway, smiling.
Oh my goodness. Excuse me for one moment.
He's been chatting up a middle-aged blonde.
It's all right, Costas. You don't have to worry.
But do you lose the plane?
Don't worry, Costas. I haven't come back for you.
Oh.
I've come back for a job. A job in the taverna.
A job? You won't work here?
Yeah, why not? I mean, this place could do with someone to sort it out. I mean, given the amount of time you spend on your brother's boat.
He cocks an eyebrow, shrugs and smiles awkwardly. In Manchester, Joe, wearing a leather bomber jacket, stands at arrivals holding a massive bouquet of flowers. Jane wheels a luggage trolley up to him and deposits Shirley's case. Jane wheels her cases away. Joe stands clutching the flowers and looking stunned.
As I said, never again, Douglas.
In Greece, Shirley lies in a single bed, the wooden shutters of her room open. One of the French windows is also open. Wearing a strappy white satin nightie, Shirley gets out of bed and puts on the gown Gillian gave her. She stares out at an expanse of clear blue sea. A heat haze shimmers over the mountains surrounding the bay. Shirley smiles wistfully. Shirley's laying tables with Spiro in the taverna.
To see you on the telephone.
Shirley walks in off the shady terrace where vines curl around the poles which hold up its bamboo-covered roof.
Hello?
Are you a disgrace? A bloody disgrace! To the children, to me, to yourself. I'm a laughingstock. That's what I am, a laughingstock.
Listen, Joe, I can't talk now. I'm busy.
You're busy doing what? What are you
doing? I'm working, do you understand?
No, I bloody don't understand. I've taken time from work because of you.
Stop this arsing around and get yourself back home.
Have I just about enough? Hello? Shirley? Shirley, are you there?
He rips the cable from the wall. An elderly couple study menus at the taverna.
Yeah, miss. What's this, clef...
Clefica. It's very nice.
Oh, you're English.
Oh, what a relief. Well, what is this clef...
Clefica. Oh, it's lovely. It's lamb cooked very, very slowly in oregano.
No, I don't think so.
It's all a bit,
Tell you what. Listen there. It's not on the menu, but would you like me to do you both some chips and egg?
Oh, yes.
Smash it.
Images of Shirley at a market buying produce.
I'm phoning from work because our phone's out of order, that's why. It's costing me a bleeding fortune this time of the day. Now listen to me, Shirley. You belong back here. Don't put the phone down. Don't... Hello, Shirley. Now listen. Now Jane's told me all about it, you know, about you making a fool of yourself with this holiday romance thing.
No, Joe, you've got it all wrong.
Okay, now... All right, OK, it happens, OK? Middle-aged women make fools of themselves when they go abroad. But look, I'm prepared to forgive you if you prepared to promise that you get yourself on a plane and get yourself back home.
Joe, will you listen for one moment? Will you just listen? The only holiday romance I've had is with myself. And I think I've come to like myself, really. I think I'm all right. I think if I saw myself, I'd say that woman's okay.
But Shirley, you can't just run away from life.
That's right, Joe, I agree with you. And now that I have found some life, I have no intention of running away from it.
But you belong back here.
Please, Joe, it's no good to keep phoning, because I'm not coming back.
He's now at a phone box.
Can't you understand? I'm not coming home.
But Shirley, don't you understand, love? You don't know what you're saying because you're going through the change of life.
That's right, Joe. That's exactly what it is. It's a change of life.
Joe marches into his office. Brian's there.
Why don't you go and see her, Dad?
She's in Greece. She's not down the southern road.
So, go to Greece.
I've got a business to run.
What is it with people when they get old?
Old? Who's old? I'm only in my 40s.
Yeah, I know. But you're frightened, aren't you?
Frightened of what?
You're frightened of anything that's different, Dad. I used to like you. I did. You were great, you know. Used to laugh. Used to talk to us all. We've not half become a boring bastard.
Joe ponders. Shirley returns to the taverna from shopping.
Oh, here she is. Chips and egg.
Smash it.
The elderly couple beam and watch her enter.
Yes, you've got that.
Yes, you do. Hi. Come for you, one telegram. Bad news?
No. No, not really. It's from Joe.
Yeah.
He's coming to fetch me to take me back home. God love him. He must have been watching Rambo.
Rambo? Well, Joe's come here?
Yeah.
When he come?
Friday.
Friday. Friday. Tomorrow Friday.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's... Oh, it's pity because... I received a telephone call. I must go in Athens. My sister is very sick. She wants me to be. So, I'm sorry. You understand, seriously?
Oh, yeah, Costas. Of course I understand. Good night, Shirley. Good night, Julie. Hi, John. Bye.
Shirley takes two glasses and a jug of wine down to a table on the beach outside the taverna. She's tanned and wears a tunic belted at the waist, a knee-length skirt and high heels. The dying rays of the sun create a soft light as a solitary figure makes its way down the road to the beach. It's Joe, wearing a dark suit and carrying a case. Shirley sits at the table on the beach, the wine and glasses before her. Looking up the road, Shirley pours herself a little Retsina, then puts on sunglasses. Joe reaches the bottom of the hill, puts his case down and sits on it. The water laps nearby. The road bends and narrows as it borders the beach and leads to the taverna. Sitting with his hands on his knees and arms akimbo, Joe stares towards the taverna. Joe picks up his suitcase again and makes for the taverna. Shirley removes her sunglasses and watches him.
Oh, I hope he stays for a while. He needs a holiday. He needs to feel the sun on his skin and to be in water that's as deep as forever.
Smartly dressed Joe, wearing a tie and white shirt, walks briskly towards the tavern. Shirley sits staring ahead, her chin raised a little haughtily. She takes a deep breath, puts on her sunglasses again, and watches Joe approach. Joe smiles politely at her and walks on.
Joe.
He stops in his tracks and turns to her. She removes her sunglasses. Joe puts down his case.
I didn't recognise you.
I know. I used to be the mother. I used to be the wife. But now I'm Shirley Valentine again.
Joe's eyes flit around in thought.
Would you like to join me for a drink?
Thanks.
His sullen expression brightens slightly. Joe sits on the chair beside Shirley, and they're silhouetted in pinky gold sunlight. She pours him Retsina. They sit talking, a band of burnished golden sunlight on the darkening water beside them. Joe sips the Retsina gingerly. The fiery sun begins to sink behind mountains across the water. A gentle breeze rustles tall grasses which border the path to the taverna. Joe and Shirley continue talking, silhouetted against a red sunset. ITFC audio description.